Terry Toad back at Redbird Arena. It is showdown time at the OK Corral tonight.
One ball, two strikes, two outs. The Lancers one strike away from capturing the Class A state baseball championship. Glick looks into Burbridge for the sign. Josh to the stretch. The 1-2 pitch. Ground ball. Slowly hit to the second baseman, Hirschman, to first. Out here! Lancers win! Lancers win! Are you glad to be a Lancers fan? Wow! The Lancers have the Class 1A state baseball championship as the Rockets' Red Blair in the background and the Lincoln High School baseball team of 2009 has boldly gone where no high school team in the history of Lincoln would have gone before.
Hope at the top of the key, inside the lane. Spence puts it off the glass. It is another terrific play by Hope Schulte. You wouldn't believe it. And that's the buzzer. Wow. Hope Schulte putting on a show here tonight.
Top of the key to Molly. Molly fires it to Venetia. V open for the three for the tie. Good! The sophomore sticks it home! With a big grin on her face. She waves for the Lady Redskin fans to come to their feet. And Coach Maury Hoff grinning from ear to ear.
Southwestern setting up a play for the final 14 seconds of regulation, hoping to win it and sweep the Macoupin County Tournament here in 2010. Gray on the dribble, backs out with eight. Gray spins inside the lane, gets tied up by Burton. Burton comes in, he dunks the ball! Burton gets the dunk! Goes the foul! And Gerard has taken the lead with 1.9 seconds to go.
Wow.
Abby Brockmeyer will have an opportunity to set the scoring mark for Litchfield High School with a free throw here. There's history. Abby Brockmeyer has set the mark for the Litchfield Lady Panther basketball program. She now has 1,912 points, surpassing Ann Plume Gondreman, who has observed this tonight.
Here we go. Kyle Thomas will inbound the ball. Comes out front to Sale for the three, for the tie. Good! Derek Sale with 19. We're tied at 50. 4 seconds to go. Here's Herb Street for the winner. The baseline jump and goal! God's going to look kindly upon the toppers tonight. We'll see. Carlisle leads by a point. Cox with another free throw. This one is up, and this one's no good. Rebound, Finsky. Finsky gets the ball to Payton with one. Payton jumper at the buzzer. Good! The toppers win this one! Unbelievable finish!
Schulte into the front court. Around to the left side to Maria Predner. Maria looks inside. The give and go back to Schulte. Layup is good! Yes, sir!
Waterman with 4 seconds. Out to Molly with three. Molly to midcourt with two. Molly puts up the shots, lays it up and in, and will it count? Yes! They're going to count it! They're going to count it! Oh, my! Oh, my! Oh, my! Thank you very much! And Merry Christmas! Skins lead by three. Jesse Huff, 4-3. Good! Good!
Woo! Oh, to the free throw line, down the lane. Here's Sarah Puckett. Puck's open for the three ball. Thank you, Sarah Puckett.
Come on, Bonnie. Come on, Bonnie. Come on. Thank you, Bonnie! Folks, that might do it. That might do it. 21 seconds. That's it, folks. Lady Redskins, Lady Redskins are going to be the Class A State Basketball Champions of 1998.
Woo! Looky there. Looky there!
Lady Hilltoppers are going to be the state champions. 1/10 of a second remaining in the ball game, and we're going to come home with a big trophy tomorrow. There you go, champions, champions, champions!
Well, good morning, everyone. Wasn't that a beautiful way to start the day? My goodness gracious, the voice of radio, the voice of sports, high school sports in Central Illinois for over 40 some years, 41 I think, or even more. But what a lovely, lovely way for us to start. And I say that because this is a celebration. Now that was a happy, happy moment. And today, as we celebrate Terry's life, we celebrate the fact that he lived a good, happy life. And now his father has called him home, and he will continue in the eternal in a very happy place. And that is so refreshing for us. And so I call this a celebration. Certainly we're sad, because we are always sad when one of us is taken away from our presence. But the spirit, the spiritual presence of Terry will live on and on and on. Just imagine, over those 40-odd years, the people's lives, particularly the young people who Terry touched their lives in a very special way. There's probably, if you walk out here on the street, and I know I've done this over the past several days, I don't think there's anyone around here who doesn't know who Terry Tote is. You know, and I honestly was never face to face with Terry, but for 9 years, I ran the Boy Scout camp over here at Carlinville, and of course, one of the closest radio stations was WSMI, and especially for sports, we had it going all the time. So this voice is very familiar to me. And so when I was asked to do this service, man, I was just bursting at the seams, because I thought, wow, you know, as a priest, we get a lot of honors as we go along, but this to me is truly at the top of the list, the pinnacle of honors for me and my number of years ordained. So Brenda, Bridget, thank you so much for the opportunity to do this. Now I'd like to open with just a little prayer, and then we'll move right along. Almighty God and Father, it is our certain faith that your Son, who died on the cross, was raised from the dead, the first fruits of all who have fallen asleep. Grant that through this mystery, your servant Terry, who has gone to his rest in Christ, may share in the joy of the resurrection. We ask this, Father, through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And now, as a matter of our program, I would love to invite our first eulogist, friend of mine, parishioner of the parish, one of the parishes that I pastor, Mr. Vern Pinkston.
For all of those of you that don't know me, my name is Vern Pinkston. I've known Terry since we were in kindergarten, if not before. We've both spent most of our lives in Raymond, living only a few blocks apart. And I'd just like to share a few memories that I have of Terry. First of all, though, I'd like to express my deepest sympathy to Terry's family. Terry George Tote was born February 22nd, 1956, the son of Vera and George Tote, who are both deceased. Terry is survived by his wife, Brenda, and their two children, Brendan and Bridget. Terry also has two grandchildren, Jacob and Zachary. He's also survived by two younger twin brothers, Larry and Gary, a younger sister, Sherry, and many nieces and nephews. Terry's mom, Vera, was a Bonacorsi from the Kincaid area. With a name like Bonacorsi, you knew that she was Italian. I'm not sure what ancestry George's name Tote is from, probably German, but to hear Terry talk, he was 100% Italian. I never heard him say that he wanted to eat some sauerbraten or schnitzel. He was always going home to get tortellinis, mostaccioli, or some Italian beef. And if you ever got him worked up, he would say, "Don't get my Dago blood riled up." Terry and I went to school together, starting at Raymond Grade School. I remember in first grade, our teacher, Mrs. Liebeck, having a TV in the classroom so we could watch John Glenn's famous Mercury launch. Terry and I were both fascinated with this, and we both followed the Mercury, Gemini, and Apollo space programs very closely. Terry was not only interested in space exploration, but also became a big fan of science fiction, especially Star Trek. We would often ride our bikes around town or go to each other's houses to play. Recently, David Jenkins from WSMI contacted me and recorded a few clips about Terry for the radio. And one of the questions he asked me was, has Terry taught you any life lessons? And I mumbled a few things, but the question kind of caught me off guard. So after thinking about it, there's this one story that I did not share with him. One lesson I learned at an early age was really taught by my mom, but it did involve Terry. After school one day, my dad came home and asked me if I wanted to go to Springfield with some of his teacher friends and watch the high school baseball game. I think it was a district or regional tournament baseball game, and I excitedly said yes and jumped in the car. When I got home later that night, my mom asked me how the game was, and I told her it was good and I had a great time. She then told me, that she had company after school. She asked me if I had invited Terry to come to the house to play. I was devastated, as I remembered that I had. I asked if he stayed long, and my mom replied that she was busy, so she had to send Terry back home. Now, I'm sure Terry didn't have any problem finding something to do, and by the next day, we were back to playing again. But I learned a valuable lesson that day, that if you tell someone that you're going to do something, you do it. And if you can't keep your promise or you can't keep the appointment, you make other arrangements and give them a call. As we got older, we got more into sports. One of Terry's favorite stories was when we were in Mrs. Hendricks' third grade. And the St. Louis Cardinals were playing the New York Yankees in the 1964 World Series. Mrs. Hendricks took our entire class out of school, walked us over to her house, which was only about a block from the school, and we got to watch the World Series from her house. We probably only got to watch a couple of innings, but to us it was just as good as having an actual ticket to the game. Terry and I talked about this many times. Terry and I spent a lot of time at each other's houses. We would listen to Cardinal games on transistor radio. And if we were lucky enough, if Channel 5 was broadcasting, we'd watch it on TV. We watched Blues hockey when the team was formed in the late 60s, and many comedy TV shows. We were both huge fans of the Three Stooges. And even recently, Terry would like to imitate Curly with this, "Certainly! Nyuk, nyuk, nyuk," and give it this. Terry did that a lot. Terry and I played Little League Baseball for the Raymond Kiwanis team. We weren't very good, but we always had fun. Another one of Terry's favorite stories was about an evening we were scheduled to play a game in Wagner. Since Wagner had no lights, we had to play earlier in the evening. When it was time to leave for the game, we only had one car and one driver, my dad, who was the coach, and his little white Plymouth Valiant. The entire team piled into the Valiant, many lying on the floor, others sitting on others' laps, and we headed out of town. We made it to the edge of town, where fortunately another driver came along and took half the load. Terry also played Pony League baseball, and he always said his claim to fame was his one and only hit, being a game-winning hit in the last game of the season against Morrisonville off a kid wearing a fishing hat. Growing up, there were many boys in our end of town. Our good friend Randy Pope would come to town, and we would go to one of our many ballparks, at my house, Mark Convery's house, the pasture at Tim Waggy's, or out in the street at Terry's house. We would play baseball, wiffle ball, stick ball, Indian ball, and 500. But we weren't limited to just baseball. We played basketball, a crazy game called bike derby, modeled after roller derby, and championship wrestling, just to name a few. We had a great field hockey arena built at Bob and Jim Jones's yard. We had plywood boards at the end of at the ends and made goals out of metal fence posts. We used hockey sticks and a yellow bobby orr hockey ball that we bought at Kmart. We would play just about every Sunday afternoon in the winter, no matter what the weather. Many times we went home frozen, muddy messes. Terry was usually the goalie wearing a white goalie mask and catcher's gear. That same lot was turned into a golf course over the summer. The course, Jones's Hole, had one green with nine different tee-offs. We played with real golf balls. We chipped onto the green. Of course, we had broken windows in houses and a dented gutter. The dented gutter was courtesy of Terry, but it was not the only house that he ever hit playing golf. We also played a lot of games of tabletop hockey during the winter. As we got older and could drive, there were several of us that would load up the golf clubs. We would go to Springfield, Taylorville, or Palmyra to golf. Terry wasn't very good. He always claimed his clubs were too short. But boy, did we have fun. I have a top 10 list of things that either Terry did on the course or that we observed that I don't have time to go into right now. At games in his yard, Terry was usually the commissioner. He would be the final judge on disputes most of the time. I remember one time, though, there was a huge argument, which of course involved his brothers. Terry was handing out suspensions as his role as commissioner. When his mom, Vera, came out, overruled Terry and sent everybody home. Eventually, we played our games at Crawdad Stadium. Terry had invented a crazy game called Socky Hocker, which was a cross between soccer and hockey, and it was played with a soccer ball and baseball bats and lawn chairs for goals. We played this game in town, and again, we broke out windows and antennas off of cars, so we had to find another location to play. So we asked John Johnson, who owned the land where the park is now, if we could play in his lot. So he gave us the okay, so we mowed out a large patch, and we played a few games of socky hocker. But it wasn't long we figured out that this would make a great baseball field. So we put up a fence that came from Randy Pope's farm, a plywood backstop, set up some bases, made a scoreboard, and Crawdad Stadium was born. We had a couple of old beat-up baseballs. Some of our bats were broken bats from the high school team that we'd confiscated. We would fix them with wood screws and duct tape. Terry fixed just about everything with duct tape. And it was only a few years later that the land was sold to the village and the Raymond Park was built on the same place where Crawdad Stadium had been built. Terry and I attended Lincolnwood High School together. At school, Terry was always fun to be around. He was not really a class clown, but he took his classes very seriously. He would just come up with funny quips in the hallway that would always make you laugh. One time in Spanish class, we were learning preterite versus imperfect conjugation of verbs. After class, he said, "How in the heck are we supposed to do this in Spanish when we've never even heard of this in English?" That was Terry. Some of Terry's school activities included Spanish Club, the Lancer Banner, and the yearbook. But one thing Terry never did was participate in high school sports. I never figured out why, but my guess is Terry played all of these different sports at home to have fun. Don't get me wrong, Terry played to win and he hated to lose. But I think Terry wanted to play the games his way and not be burdened with hours of practice or having to stand under the basket when he wanted to shoot 20-foot jump shots even before the three-point line had been invented. I believe it was our JV basketball coach and driver ed teacher, Paul Nonneman, who gave Terry his nickname, T. Coach Nonneman would come up to him and say, "T, you ought to be a manager. T, you ought to be a manager." And I'm thinking, why do we need a 6'4" manager? Why don't you ask him to be a forward on the basketball team? But eventually, Terry did become a statistician. During our high school years, Terry and I both had jobs working in local grocery stores. Terry worked for Ray and Jesse May Stewart at the local IGA store located next to the current food pantry where Hunter Green is now. I worked for my uncle, Perry Donini, at the Raymond Food Market, which was located on the other side of the food pantry. We would work Saturdays and weekdays during summer vacation. We each got a short 10 or 15 minute break during the day, and once in a while we would get lucky and our breaks would be at the same time. We would go across the street to Hyde's Drugstore, get a fountain Coke or a root beer in a tin cup, and we would watch through the windows and see if the stores were getting busy. If not, the breaks usually lasted a lot longer than scheduled. During our time at Lincolnwood, Terry and I and our friends always found ways to keep ourselves occupied. But alcohol was never involved, cigarettes were never involved. It always was good, clean fun. Terry graduated from Lincolnwood in 1974. After high school, Terry attended Lakeland Community College in Mattoon to study broadcasting. It was during this time here that his mom, Vera, passed away. I know that that was very devastating, not only to Terry, but to the entire family. Terry went on and graduated from Lakeland in 1976 and took a job at WFWA, or as he called it, Wonderful Woofwah, in Sullivan, and worked there until an ice storm in 1978 brought down the station's tower. After briefly working in Mattoon, Terry came back to Raymond and was hired on at WSMI, and we all know how that turned out. In 1980, Terry married Brenda Pinkston. Terry's father, George, passed away in 1986, which is also a very difficult time for the family. Soon after this, Terry and Brenda moved back into Terry's boyhood home, and Terry and Brenda had two children, Brendan and Bridget. Brendan would marry DJ, and they have two children, Jacob and Zachary. And Terry always loved to talk about his grandchildren. After coming back to Raymond, Terry was very involved in the community. He was instrumental in organizing the Raymond Harville Sports Association. Terry was one of those who initiated soccer in Raymond and the surrounding areas. He coached and officiated many soccer games. Terry was involved in coaching and umpiring youth softball and Bronco League baseball. He officiated youth basketball. Most of these youth games that Terry officiated were without pay. He just wanted to teach the kids the rules and how to play the games. Many times after a call, he would stop the game and would explain to the little ones what they had done wrong. Terry was also involved in the organization of many events held at the park, including Pinto League tournaments, Pony League tournaments, and Home Run Derby. Terry also did umpire IHSA softball games for a few years. In 1993, Terry was elected to the Raymond Park Board, where he served 4 6-year terms until 2017. Terry always made sure the facilities were looking good. He spent many, many hours painting lines on the field, straightest lines around, cleaning the restrooms, raking leaves, and spraying weeds. We would talk about the need to trim grass, and he would just say, "I'll spray Roundup on it." Again, all volunteer work. Terry was the person who made the big push to build the new soccer and softball facilities. It was because of all this that a few years ago, Terry was named to the Illinois State Journal Register's 5 Who Made a Difference, which was written by Dave Kane. Dave also wrote a beautiful tribute about Terry's passing in the paper this past week, along with Kyle Herschelman's beautiful obituary in the newspapers. This past fall, the RHSA soccer field at the park was renamed the Terry Tote RHSA Field in recognition of the many years of service to the soccer program and his work in maintaining the soccer facilities. For many years, Terry was a big part of the annual Independence Day celebration. He emceed many Queen contests and Little Miss and Mr. Muscle contests. Terry brought out the best in the little ones. He could get them to answer questions that made the parents cringe and the audience burst into laughter. Terry was also responsible for painting the bossy bingo grid every year. In 2015, Terry was diagnosed with cancer. Terry told me that it was a rare type and the doctors were not sure how to treat it. Terry's wife, Brenda, was the true hero here as she searched online, trying to learn as much as she could about this disease and how to treat it. She found a doctor in Cincinnati that worked with Terry's type of cancer. For 4 years, Terry fought this cancer, but I think Brenda fought it even harder. I know she had many discussions, to put it lightly, with the doctors, nurses, and staff when she felt not enough was being done to help Terry. But the cancer took its toll. Only a month ago, Terry was forced to leave his radio job because of his pain. His pain was becoming too great, and the medicine used to treat the pain blurred his thinking. Terry's health deteriorated rapidly. The family was called in, and Terry was able to spend his last few days with them, and I'm sure he tried his best to tell everyone how much he loved them. And after he had done this and he realized his mission on earth had been finished and it was time for him to meet Almighty God in heaven, I'm sure, at least in his own mind, he took out his communicator, activated it, and gave one last command: Scotty, beam me up. Thank you.
Thank you, Vern, very, very much. You know, being somewhat of a history buff, I'm really happy to know how Crawdad Stadium came about and got its name. I'll find out the rest of the story one of these days. Now we have an interlude for you. We're going to play the song, What a Wonderful World. No, I'm sorry, Keep Me in Your Heart first. Then later, What a Wonderful World.
Shadows are falling and I'm running out of breath. Keep me in your heart for a while. If I leave you, it doesn't mean I love you any less. Keep me in your heart for a while. When you get up in the morning and you see that crazy sun, keep me in your heart for a while. There's a train leaving nightly called when all is said and done. Keep me in your heart for a while. Sha-la. Sometimes when you're doing simple things around the house, maybe you'll think of me and smile. You know I'm tied to you like the buttons on your blouse. Keep me in your heart for a while. Hold me in your thoughts. Take me to your dreams. Touch me as I'm falling. Headed north to Pleasant Stream. Keep me in your heart for a while. These wheels keep turning, but they're running out of steam. Keep me in your heart for a while. Sha-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la, keep me in your heart for
our next speaker will speak on behalf of Terry, or in the perspective, rather, of the radio business, and a colleague as well as a friend. So I'd like to invite Tim Mize to come forward, please.
Three-ring binder, like Terry always taught me. The Tote family, they knew how much Terry meant to people around the area, but the outpouring of love over this last week has been more than they ever could have imagined. Brenda and the entire family just want to express their sincere appreciation for the love and kindness shown to them during this difficult time. Husband, father, brother, grandpa, uncle, friend, legend. Terry Tote was all of those things and so much more. Terry touched all of our lives in his own special way. Brenda, Terry often said that meeting you was the best thing to happen in his life, and that asking you to marry him was the best decision he ever made. You were his Brinny, the love of his life. Brendan and Bridget, he was so proud of both of you. His face lit up when he talked about you two, whether it was stories from your childhood or stories about the fantastic adults you've both become. He loved you so much. I will always remember the photo that he had in his office from the Wizard of Oz Halloween you guys had back in the day. Brenda was the Scarecrow. Brendan was the Tin Man. Bridget was the Lion. And Terry was Dorothy. The tote legs, as he called them, were on full display. One of my favorite stories that Terry would tell was from when he was coaching Bridget's youth basketball team. Now, they were playing the Hope Schulte crew, and we all know the talent that was involved there even at a young age. Now, the first 2 minutes of the game were not going well, so Terry called his timeouts. Yeah, timeouts, plural, all of them. He told the ref, "I want them all right now." He got out his chalk, and he drew up not a play, but how he wanted the girls to block out. He told Bridget, "I don't care if you foul out in the first quarter. You just take your butt and you move them backwards." So she did. At one point, the ref questioned Bridget as to why she continued to do that. And she simply said, "Because my dad told me to." And in typical T fashion, after the game, he took them all out for ice cream. Terry liked to say that God gave you a butt for one reason, to block out. Terry loved to talk about the days of stickball in Crawdad Stadium. What a fun time those days must have been. He may have been a radio star, but he would say his biggest claim to fame was being named commissioner of the Stickball League. His first act as commissioner was the creation of the penalty hole, just to make things a little bit more interesting. Now, for those of you who aren't familiar with a penalty hole, that was a small hole behind second base. If you hit the ball in the penalty hole, it was an automatic side out, inning over. So naturally, Terry was the only player to hit it in the penalty hole. T would often claim that he was the worst little leaguer in history. I doubt that. But in many ways, that's who Terry was. I'm not talking about his baseball abilities, but rather his mindset. He never patted himself on the back or looked for praise from others to validate himself. He wasn't the worst little leaguer of all time, but I do know that he was the best radio man I've ever heard. He never said that, but he didn't have to. He would just tell you he did it for a long time and people got used to him. We all know that's not true. The only thing that we got used to was his voice at every big game for the last 40 years. His greatness was on display every time he opened that microphone and thrilled us with his joy and made us feel like we were right there with him. His humbleness is what made him who he was. Growing up, listening to him on the radio, he was bigger than life. When you got to know him, he was just the opposite. He was down to earth, humble, kind, and caring. He gave so much of himself to others. Anytime you needed something, Terry was there, no questions asked. For people who never got the privilege to meet Terry, but just listened to him on the radio, I can assure you, he was 100% real. He was the same man on the radio as he was off it. He cared about people, and he really enjoyed watching kids compete. Terry was always very clear, it's about the kids, no one else. He often said that athletics was just another classroom. There was always something to be learned, he would say, and Terry never stopped learning. Terry loved life. I don't know that I ever saw him in a bad mood for an extended period of time. Not to say he wasn't. He had to have bad days. We all do. He just never showed it. One of Terry's most common lines was, "The safety of the free world is not at stake." I can't count how many times I heard that line. When I would make a mistake on the air and be agitated, and believe me, it's a common occurrence, Terry would be right there to utter that line and remind me that he has made every mistake possible over the years. Of course, that wasn't true, but it certainly made me feel better about making a fool of myself on the radio. He didn't let problems linger. He dealt with them and moved on. Just one of the many lessons learned from Terry. The way he handled his cancer fight should be an inspiration to us all. He faced it head on and fought with every fiber of his being. I will never know how he found the strength to come to work every day for as long as he did. Simply remarkable. But that's Terry Tote. Terry loved the Raymond Park, or as he affectionately called it, his park. He didn't call it his park out of ego. He referred to it as his park because of all the years he spent on the park board and all the hours he spent working at the park. He sprayed the weeds on the fields, he painted the soccer field, and as Vern alluded to, nobody had straighter or thicker lines than Terry. He even cleaned the restrooms, for goodness sakes. He just loved being outdoors. Not to fish, hunt, or camp, no. He loved the sunshine, the smell of fresh cut grass, and watching kids play in the park. I remember talking to Terry about cutting grass. I said, "I like to cut my grass about 4 inches tall and have nice stripes." Terry said, "No, not me. I shear my grass off as low as the mower will go so the neighbor's leaves blow through my yard into the yard next door so I don't have to rake them." Terry loved NASA and the space program. I could listen to him for hours talk about the moon landings or the various different space missions. Neil Armstrong hated exercising. Terry wasn't a big fan either. Armstrong said, "Every human has a finite amount of heartbeats. I don't intend to waste any of mine running around doing exercises." Terry said, "He walked on the moon. If it's good enough for him, it's good enough for me." The 50th anniversary of Apollo 11 this summer will not be the same without Terry. Terry loves Star Trek. He might have liked Star Trek more than high school basketball and soccer, which tells you how much he liked Star Trek. He always joked that he wanted to be around on April 5th, 2063. That's the day the Vulcans and humans met for the first time in Montana. He could quote any line from any episode or movie. He could tell you about the editing mistakes or some of the little quirks that most people would never even notice. The line he used the most, though, it really is a great way to think about life. It's from Star Trek III, Search for Spock. Scotty said, "The more they overthink the plumbing, the easier it is to stop up the drain." Life, sports, it doesn't matter. Don't overcomplicate things. Be a good person. Think of others before yourself. These shouldn't be hard things to do. Terry did it, and so should we. Terry's memory will live on in many ways. Perhaps the best way to honor Terry, though, is by doing what Terry did. Think of someone other than yourself. Love your family. Serve your community. Help your neighbor. And enjoy each day the sun comes up. Terry read countless obituaries during his 40 years at WSMI. Some people have a funeral service. Others have funeral mass. And for some, it's a celebration of life. That is what today should be. A celebration of a great life that ended way too soon. It's a sad day. We all know that. Terry meant so much to so many, but his life is deserving of a celebration. There are so many great memories we all have in our hearts and minds, and they will be with us forever, which means Terry will be with us forever. There's a quote that seems right for this day. The author is debatable, but that doesn't matter. The words are true. It's not the years in your life that count. It's the life in your years. Terry got so much life into his years, and we are all better people because of Terry Tote. Rest in peace, my friend.
Thank you, Tim, very much. And now let's enjoy together. What a wonderful world.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. Watch them grow, they're like much more than I never knew. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Now, my dear friends, I'd like to share with you a scripture reading. This comes from the book, or the gospel rather, of John. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You have faith in God. Have faith also in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If there were not, Would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you also may be. Where I am going, you know the way. Well, Thomas said to him, Master, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You know, my dear friends, the setting for that particular discourse was the Last Supper. And Jesus was telling his disciples that he was leaving, that he was going back to his Father's house. And you can imagine how they felt. They were totally confused by that. What do you mean you're leaving? You know, this is a guy that they had followed, that they had worshiped, that they had witnessed all the good things that he did. Sound familiar? We're talking this very moment about this man, Terry Tote. All of you people, all of the kids that have come before, have experienced that love like the disciples love Jesus Christ. Father, we love you. We follow you. We believe in you. And now, here we are with this celebration, and thank you, Tim, for reiterating that. It is a celebration. It is a celebration. Terry has gone through the door of death and entered into his Father's house. And it is there that he will dwell forever. And Jesus himself had that room for Terry prepared. Jesus prepared that room with hammer, with nails, and with a crowny thorn. Jesus prepared Terry's room with his own blood shed for him. So on the night that he was betrayed, and on the eve of his crucifixion, he said to his disciples, do not let your hearts be troubled. And he's saying that to each and every one of us today. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God and also believe in me. You see, Jesus knew, as Terry knew, that your hearts would be troubled. His disciples' hearts were troubled. We, as his disciples today, our hearts are troubled. But he also knew that he would raise from the dead after 3 days, and by his resurrection from the dead, he burst open the doors to the kingdom of heaven for all of us, for all of us. So as we think about today where Terry has gone, we cannot go yet because he has gone to his Father's house. He has gone there by the way of death and by the way of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus has taken Terry's soul to his Father's house. And my friends, one day, he will raise up Terry's body from the ashes and take it to his Father's house as well. So body and soul will be together again. And it's only Jesus Christ who opens that door to the kingdom of heaven. And it is through him that each and every one of us must pass from life to life. Remember Jesus' words. No one comes to the Father but by me. So my friends, let us pray. Pray through the mystery of the resurrection of Christ that Terry is surrounded by joy, and that joy is the sights and the sounds and the songs of all the angels in heaven. So today we are sad, but today let us celebrate, let us rejoice, and let us all give thanks and praise to God that Terry has been born into eternal life. Now, my dear friends, we have another eulogist, and this will be Roger Cratchaville. And Roger will speak from the perspective of a coach as well as a good friend.
Good morning. A couple of years ago, I was a guest for the first time on John Michael Marty's show. And being on Terry's show a lot of times, John asked Terry, what about Roger? And Terry told him, he said, you ask him a question and then he could go on forever. So I'm going to fool you this time. I'm not going to do that. But my name is Roger Cratchaville, and like all of you, I was a good friend of Terry Tote. When you first meet Terry, you immediately like him. And then from there, you become his friend for life. You think about that for a moment. I first met Terry probably in the 1970s, when I was a high school baseball coach at Mount Olive High School, and we were playing Raymond Lincolnwood at Raymond. While my players went through their pregame drills, I meandered over to a field, over to the field, where a young man was busy raking the diamond. He was helping the coach get the diamond ready for the game. He was a very friendly and very talkative young man who I liked immediately. That gift of gab was a good start for our future radio announcer and broadcaster. That young man was Terry. And that special meeting became the beginning of a friendship and a feeling of mutual respect that has lasted these many years. You see, at my age, I can remember early radio personalities at WSMI Radio, like Jack Kane doing the news, and some of you old-timers can remember that. Ed Johnson doing the sports, and the always memorable Johnny Kralik doing the game broadcasts on WSMI. But there was always something extra special about Terry. That specialness was supported later by his on-air presence and his making every show interview personal between himself and his guest. His personality put everyone at ease. He probably could have interviewed the winning frog at the Farmersville Irish Days frog jumping contest if he wanted to. Personally, my family would get up in the morning, turn on WSMI, and then make the coffee. You could hear Terry and longtime broadcasting legend Randy Prange banter between each other about every possible topic imaginable. They would do a lot of laughing, and Terry's laugh was infectious, wasn't it? That would start your day off on a good mood, or in a good mood. Often when I was on the program, and would come to the station to talk baseball, I would bring my wife. He would meet us at the door and knew her by name as well as my kids by their first names. Later, my son Tim, who is here today, who had a very successful baseball career playing and coaching, would also be invited to be on the air with me so that we could have the old coach, young coach views on coaching. And they weren't always the same. His broadcast of games was classic. If a local team was playing in the playoffs against an out-of-area team, he was a huge fan and cheerleader for that local team. His excitement shown in his style caused you to get excited. Who could forget those Nokomis, Raymond, Staunton, Hillsboro state tournament runs, or the hundreds of others that he helped make memorable? We all became fans of those teams thanks to him. Of course, on a personal level, I vividly remember him broadcasting the Mount Holly football playoff games and the many baseball games that I coached. It was once said that one of the special things about the game broadcast was his mentioning everyone's names, from the best players on. Grandparents who could not get to a game and were listening from home would hear their grandchildren's name, not just as a number, but a name. He would light them up, and Terry treated the stars and the other players all the same. That made him special with everyone. No doubt it, Terry was a celebrity. A word that is not always used to describe a celebrity is humbleness. In talking to my wife, Mary, she reminded me that Terry was one of the most humble people we ever met. She was right. He made you the guest, the player, the coach, or whomever, the center of attention. And by his interview skills, guaranteed that you would do well. And he took a back seat, enjoying you being the good guest. Finally, Terry lived in Raymond, where he was universally loved and respected. But Raymond had to share him with everybody else that he had ever met. You see, Terry always knew where he was going because he always knew where he came from. He loved Raymond and always gave back. He loved his family, but his wife Brenda and family had to share him with the public. And I don't think it was always 50-50. WSMI was a big part of his life. And he was the local voice of the Midwest. He used to refer to Uncle Ralph as everybody's favorite uncle. Well, I think we can safely refer to Terry as everybody's favorite broadcaster. His voice is silenced now, but the memory of Terry will live forever. May he rest in peace. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cratchville, very much. Now we have kind of a special surprise for you, where our next song will be Take Me Out to the Ball Game. And I know whenever you hear this song, there's a tendency to want to stomp your feet, clap your hands, and sing along. But this is meant to be a piano solo for you. So we would like you now to enjoy Brendan as he comes up and plays Take Me Out to the Ball Game. Thank you. beginning to wrap things up for now, and I would like to say just a little prayer with you. Please bow your heads. Father God, of all consolation, in your unending love and mercy, you turn the darkness of death into the dawn of new life. Let us pray for each other as we mourn our brother Terry's death. Comfort us in our sorrow. Fill the emptiness in our hearts with the presence of your love, Father. Increase our faith and strengthen our hope in eternal life. Father, let us pray for ourselves as we move along our pilgrimage through life. Give us the strength and keep us full of your faith as we move along. Fill our hearts, Father, with the hope for heaven. Father God, in your mercy, as we remember in love Terry Tote, whom we have placed into your hands, acknowledge, we pray, the sheep of your own fold, a lamb of your own flock. Wrap him, Father, in the arms of your mercy, in the blessed rest of everlasting peace. Amen. And now our final song will be the Star Trek Voyage Home Again.